686-2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We enter hour number two of the Paracast. The guest is Tracy Tourme. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Tracy, we had a far-reaching question from Chris. And we've given you a little extra time to think about your answer. So go ahead with it.
That is a $64,000 question.
Actually, nowadays in Hollywood, it's $64 million, right?
Well, I think that it's the most misunderstood mystery in the history of the world. I really believe that what you see is not always what you get, and it's got this weird combination of whenever I would go to a UFO convention, which I didn't go to that many of, but the ones I went to, I'd spend half my time being completely fascinated by what I was hearing, and the other half of the time just shaking my head and laughing because it just was so off the wall and so far removed from anything that I thought was accurate. So I really respect people that get through the maze of ufology and come out sane on the other side and haven't flown off the deep end. I the number of people that I've known who've really kind of lost their nut basically when they got involved in this field is huge. It's just the amount of people that go by the wayside who can't handle, you know, all of the ramifications of this phenomena. So what I really believe, I have my own theory, which I could try to tell you, but I don't want to be too long-winded with it. But I have my own theory what is really going on.
but that's what we want to hear.
Yeah, okay. We want to hear the long-winded version, absolutely.
Well, first of all, I really believe that one of the reasons I have trouble with the idea of major, huge conspiracies, okay? Whenever anybody believes in a huge conspiracy, I have a problem with it because I just don't think that huge conspiracies are kept very well. I think they leak like crazy. So it's always kind of baffled me how there could be this massive UFO conspiracy, but yet they keep the lid on it so well. And I tried to put those two things together for a long time and finally came to the conclusion that what if something's flying around here, and let's just start with 1947, say that it started then, which, you know, of course, is debatable. But something's flying around since at least 1947. It's not made in New York. It's not made in Moscow. It's not made in Beijing. It's from somewhere else, and it uses a technology that is beyond our major understanding. What if the reason that the secret, the UFO secret, hasn't suddenly come bubbling to the surface, the smoking gun, is because there is no smoking gun? And what I mean by that is I believe whoever's behind the UFO phenomena has their own agenda. And their agenda does not involve landing on the White House lawn. And it does not involve going on the Larry King show. And it just does not involve, you know, telling various people all the answers of the universe who come forward and say they have all the answers of the universe. Instead, it is something that's extremely covert. And what we find out about it, we find out by accident, in spite of them, not because of them. They have a self-concealing way of doing this. And they really don't want a lot of attention. They want to be doing their own thing quietly and with as little interference from us as possible. So what I believe is, if you could get into the place in the world where we have the most UFO knowledge or whatever, you wouldn't have Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon and all the generals of the world sitting around keeping the secret of ufology. I don't believe in that. But instead, you would have some excellent photographs. You'd have maybe some pieces of wreckage. You'd have some pretty definitive proof that something is here. But that doesn't mean we know what it is and why it's here and what it wants. And I really believe that its purpose is so masked through a number of layers, that it's guesswork as to, you know, who they are and why they're here and what they want. And anybody can have a theory. Some theories are better than others. But the basic expectation that there is a secret, that if you could just get your hands on it, it would tell you why and what and how and when and all of that. I think there's a very possible that they don't know. And I know that's not a very sexy theory or whatever, but it's very possible they know there's something here. They know they can't control it. They can't stop it. They can't interact with it very well. But as to why they're here and what they want and everything, I think that's really open to speculation and has not been necessarily solved. And I think that's one of the ways that the secret is kept, because there is no secret to keep.
Well, of course, that may also work against the considerations of, well, if there is a Roswell UFO crash, we had to have recovered the wreckage. Maybe we transferred some of that technology into private industry. All the stuff going on, you're saying maybe there's no truth to any of that.
Well, I'm saying if they found a Roswell crash, they would have something that they know, again, is not earthly based. But could they tell you how it flies? Could they tell you what its power source is? Could they tell you what its home planet of origination is? No. I think that could be the big secret to the whole thing, because that's the only thing that answers the question to me of how do they keep the lid on this thing. They keep the lid on it because they don't have a lot of answers that they have to protect. So please understand, I'm not saying for a second that it's not a real phenomena. I believe it's a real phenomena. I really do. But I believe it's very self-concealing. And whatever we learn, again, we learn in drips and drabs by accident. And that whoever they are and whatever they're doing, and I think you can make a good case that abductions is a key to this whole thing, and that is at the centerpiece of this. But whoever they are, they want to do their own thing, and they don't want a lot of interference from us. That's honestly what I believe.
Now, when we get to abductions, it gets to be very controversial. Just the mere way of examining people who claim to have abductions can be controversial, such as using hypnotic regression. As you know, there are different points of view. We've had Bud Hopkins talk about using hypnotic regression to unearth so-called lost memories. We've had Kevin Randall saying that doesn't work. What do you think?
I absolutely believe that it has been an effective tool. I worked very closely with Bud Hopkins for a number of years. I used to, when I was working at Saturday Night Live in New York, I used to just leave the office and drive down to Bud Hopkins' place and sit in on his hypnosis sessions and watch these incredible regressive sessions that they did, which the emotion level are so powerful and so real that you really almost can't watch a bunch of those and not have it affect you. I mean, it's really hard to watch that stuff and then come away thinking, oh, it's just a fantasy, or it's not real. I came to believe it is real. I'm not saying, again, that everything we see is what we get as far as all the information we get, because I think, again, they are giving us information in like I said, in drips and drabs, and we pick up little pieces of the puzzle here and there and try to piece them all together, sometimes more successfully than other times. But as far as whether there's a real phenomena at the core of abductions, I absolutely believe there is. And I think that, you know, you can start to find some patterns, and obviously Bud Hopkins did a great job of finding patterns, finding, like, if you weren't taken as a child, you probably weren't taken, and that it's a generational thing, and it goes on from year to year, and they continually tag you like they would tag a deer and follow you up, pick you up. They have this incredible ability to paralyze people. That seems to be, in like 90% of cases, people just can't move when they take you on, which is quite a tool, you know. And so I'm a definite believer, and I know that Jacques Vallée disagrees with me about that and doesn't think there's anything to it. But I personally have seen too much with my own eyes to not be a believer that there's some reality to the abduction phenomena.
We'll get into more of this in a moment. We have Tracy Tormé, writer and producer. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What is the number one secret to all your health problems? I'll give you a hint. Dr. Alexis Carroll kept chicken heart tissue alive for 28 years in a test tube. He said the cells remained youthful so long as the metabolic wastes were washed away, but that when wastes were allowed to accumulate in and around the cell would age and then die. So the key to radiant health is cellular cleanliness, and the key to keeping your cells clean of chemicals, free radicals, and heavy metals that we are bombarded with in our society is glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by every cell of the body. Glutathione levels decline due to toxicity and aging. The number one food to replenish your body's glutathione levels up to 64% or more is unheated, grass-fed whey protein powder. This miraculous superfood may do more for your health than any other supplement you've ever taken. To get your free report of the best whey protein powder, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Still worrying? From GMO to organic food in jeopardy, divided by economic turmoil, there is still an answer. With just a little knowledge easily acquired, you will literally see food everywhere. Author Linda Runyon has these skills from having lived this way of life and created the tools so you could too. Wild food is economical, nutritious, freely available, abundant, and free for the taking. It is a skill that takes little time to learn, but stays with you for life. And now for a limited time, it's all on sale. It's called the Bye Bye Old Website Sale. Can you guess what's coming? Absolutely everything's on sale across the board, including our already discounted packages. And you know, the holidays are coming up fast. We don't know if we're going to have another sale this year. This was the only one in 2010 so far. We've been lucky to keep our prices the same since 2008, but who knows what the future will bring. So go to ofthefield.com now, or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. And cross food off your to-do list.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We return with Tracy Torme, writer and producer. We're talking about science fiction and science fact, concentrating now on the factual part of the ledger. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. Okay, so you believe what's going on, what they're bringing out. Now, of course, one of the other criticisms voiced about people who are not therapists doing this hypnotic regression, they may ask leading questions that cause people to say things they might not otherwise say.
That's a real problem. That's definitely a real problem. Another problem is contamination. And when I first started getting involved in this stuff, if you asked 100 people to draw an alien, you might have gotten 100 different responses. Now you ask someone to draw an alien, and you got a guy with a big gray head and big black eyes, and that has seeped into the Americana, into the public consciousness. So you can't be sure that somebody hasn't read about this somewhere else, or seen a movie, or seen a special, or whatever, and that they're not being influenced. So it's reached a point of oversaturation. You have to take things with more of a grain of salt, I think, than you did, say, 20 or 30 years ago. So there are definite issues, and I definitely think leading questions can be serious problems, as well as the technique that some people use when they do their hypnosis. It's not a perfect science, that's for sure. But at the core of it, again, there is a consistency to these reports and a cold, hard terror to these reports. Somebody in the book recently talked about my point of view on aliens and how it seemed to be so negative and it seemed to be so horror-based or whatever. And I guess it's true because I don't see the abduction experience as a positive experience for human beings. And I know a lot of people have tried to turn it into that and have said, if we can just get past the fear factor, then we can see that they're trying to help us and they're our space brothers and they're here to pat us on the head and lead us to the right way and cure our pollution and all that.
Solve all our problems.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of evidence of that. I see people who are not necessarily being cruel, but they're not being particularly kind. And they basically have a job to do, and they're going to do it, and they're going to paralyze you, and they're going to take your blood and your ova, your tissue, your sperm, etc., and they're going to do it for their own purposes with a minimum of comfort. And they're going to give you a little pat on the head and send you on your way and erase your memory so you don't even remember what happened. That, to me, does not bode very well for the human race, to be really honest with you.
Well, you think that one of the other problems with abductions is the fact that there are so many of them. I mean, if we can believe all this, whoever is responsible, they're abducting mass numbers of people.
Yeah, the numbers do seem to be too large. And that could be, again, some miscalculations on people's parts. But I do believe that it's more widespread than it was first imagined. I do believe that it's actually infiltrated various levels of society. And, you know, I'm whenever I speak about abductions, it's like I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone or the Outer Limits, two of my old favorite shows. I feel like I'm in an episode because it's so fantastic in nature to imagine that there's some other race that, you know, picks us up, paralyzes us, does these things to us, and puts us back in our environment again. It sounds like bad science fiction. It really does.
And how do you separate, Tracy, the dream experiences? Because I had some people telling us abduction experiences, and I said, you know what? What if they had some kind of dream paralysis situation?
Well, if you take 100 abduction cases, you can throw out a good number of them for the reasons we've talked about, the contamination, dreams, fantasies, delusions. I mean, I think that that exists, and I think that's a problem, and I think that there's a certain percentage of people that experience all of those things. So again, I go back to separating the wheat from the chaff. You really have to search carefully and analytically and with your feet on the ground when you examine this stuff about which cases are quote-unquote real and which cases are not. And I basically believe from the experience that I've had, and I've been extremely lucky because people like Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs, and then there was some guy named Richard Neal here in Los Angeles, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but people that did extensive research on this, I really was able to watch them from a close distance and really analyze what they were doing. And I came away convinced that at the core of this, there's a real phenomena.
Well, then the question we, of course, consider here is, all right, we have something going on that we don't understand. We have laymen doing a lot of the research, but what about bringing more professional therapists, scientists into this thing?
Well, then you get into the problem that's the age-old problem in UFOs, where there's such a ridicule factor and such a fear of ridicule by mainstream scientists. I mean, it's truly kind of unbelievable how scared they all are of their reputations. And it's been a very small few that have, with good credentials, who've been willing to come forward and say, you know, there seems to be something to this. They're all terrified of it. Not everybody does what John Mack is willing to do. And he paid a big price for it. So I think that the UFO community desperately needs good skeptics, which it doesn't have, and it desperately needs good scientists, which it generally doesn't have. And that's a shame because they're missing the boat. There's really something going on right under their noses, and they're so locked in their own dogma that they can't see it. They can't see the forest for the trees, as they say.
Well, Jacques Vallée brought up several of these exact points in our show with him, and he did address the whole issue of mainstream science keeping this subject at arm's length, and in most cases not even acknowledging it. Mm-hmm. One of the things that struck me in your book with Vallée Fastwalkers was the very interesting detail of the biological nature of the actual craft. That was I guess under lock and key and being secured by the sort of shadowy military presence in the book. It's been a long time since I've read it, but who came up with that idea? This is one thing I wanted to ask before I forgot. Who came up with that particular twist? That I found that fascinating, that the ship actually was a biological entity that was mechanical in nature but biological at the same time.
Well, that was kind of a group concept that came out of many of our meetings where we were trying to come up with some new angles on the whole UFO phenomenon. And one thing that had intrigued us was the idea of it being biological in some way and that these could actually be living things rather than machines or some combination of both. So I think that came from a lot of brainstorming over the course of the years on that project. That's my best recollection.
Yeah, because I always thought I found that particular aspect one of those things that I always have been interested in and look for when I read accounts that, you know, over the years, occasionally that particular detail will come up where it seems that the ship is able to respond to the thought processes of, let's say, a contactee or someone who's been abducted, or it appears the pilots of the craft are able to manipulate the craft in a way that would suggest that there's some sort of a biological connection going on.
We have a biological connection, and it takes a couple of minutes to explain, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest is Tracy Torme. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack. Of the Rockaway, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with with two black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey Guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Do you want to get away from additives and preservatives in your food? Need alternatives to conventional food preparation? Do you want to save the fruits of your gardening labor? And are you looking for an excellent gift idea? Then check out the Excalibur Dehydrator. Dehydration is one of the healthiest, most cost-effective, and fun ways to feed yourself and your family. Make healthy snacks like fruit roll-ups and beef jerky. Store healthy food in case of an emergency with no added salts, fats, or preservatives. And save hundreds of dollars by drying it yourself with the Excalibur Dehydrator. The Excalibur Dehydrator comes with an industry-leading exclusive 10-year warranty. And when you order, you'll receive a free book filled with amazing, easy recipes, a $25 value free for a limited time. Just mention coupon code GCN. Learn more and order your Excalibur Dehydrator today at drying123.com. That's drying123.com. Drying123.com. Or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Season's greetings and health and wellness from Excalibur Dehydrator.
Extend your life.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We return with Tracy Torme. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Chris, you want to pick up further on this line of questioning?
Well, I had a very interesting case that I personally, you know, have, as many of the listeners know, have had quite a few hundred investigations under my belt, and very, very few claims of abductions. I've had a few visitation cases. Again, they're very rare. But one of my more perplexing cases featured a very, very intelligent Mensa, actually, society member, who was taken aboard a ship. And the detail that he was able to relate to me that suggested some sort of biological connection was the very thinking of something he was able to, he thought of gold, of like treasure. And the ship instantly went and then was able to expose with some sort of penetrating radar type equipment a lost treasure hoard below them about 1,000 feet. They were hovering over this thing in a ship, and when he tried to figure out how the ship was doing this, the ship responded by masking all the controls and masked any sort of instrumentation that was there. But he said it was almost like it was alive, that there was some sort of living. It was almost like tissue that was involved and not something that was purely mechanical. So this is an example of some sort of biological component that may exist in theory. And I brought that up because I was very fascinated with that particular detail in Fast Walkers. I thought that was quite ingenious as a plot element, but it did sort of resonate with me in terms of some of the cases that I personally have investigated. So that was my point, Gene. I said we don't talk about the biological aspect of this phenomenon very, very often when it comes to the actual, the actual gear, the equipment, the craft themselves. It is something that comes up.
people are probably more comfortable with the nuts and bolts, you know, angle, that it's machinery and that it's just an advanced piece of technology. But, you know, that famous old saying of future science would be indistinguishable from magic, you know, there's a lot to that. Just try to imagine 100 or 200 years ago explaining the concept of television or telephones, or, you know, the idea that you could talk to someone instantly at the other end of the world by picking up a device or watch them on a screen or whatever. That would have seemed completely beyond, you know, any possibility, and yet there it is. So I think that, you know, as science progresses, a lot of these things will, you know, the possibility of a biological component to this is, you know, very possible.
Okay, you know, the late Ivan T. Sanderson speculated about living UFOs. Don't you recall that?
Yes.
So did Trevor James Constable, too.
Indeed.
Right, the space critters.
Right.
So is it possible UFOs, then, are living creatures? Certainly one of the possibilities. The other is that the entities allegedly seen within them are robotic.
I'll tell you guys an interesting thing, that Gene Roddenberry was extremely anti-UFO, which surprises a lot of people. I really let them down by telling them this, but he was not only like anti-UFO, he was like angrily anti-UFO. He called me in once and said that he heard that I was working on this Fire in the Sky thing and how hugely disappointed in me he was, and how you know that all of those things are nonsense and they're only seen at 4 a.m. by drunken farmers in Nebraska, and no credible person has ever seen a UFO. And
besides, what's wrong with a drunken farmer in Nebraska?
But he was really anti it. And what I learned that was really fascinating was we had a group of consultants that worked on Star Trek that worked with JPL, and they were on call for us. So if we ever had a technical question in the scientific nature, we could call them and pick their brains. And, you know, generally, like, I would call and say, I need to do this in this story. How do I make it scientifically credible? And then they would brainstorm with me and go over different ways to do things. So over the course of time, I got to know a bunch of these JPL guys. And I discovered that they all of them, thought UFOs belonged right there with leprechauns and goblins and the Loch Ness Monster, and was just the biggest bunch of nonsense in the world. And here were all these really bright guys, okay? And they were so badly misinformed. I mean, they would spout those same kind of, you know, things of like saying, nobody ever sees them except drunken farmers at 4 a.m, and they're never seen on radar, and blah, 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 blah. And I had a great time over the course of years turning them on to some cases, you know. I remember the Lonnie Zamora case in Socorro, New Mexico, which has always, in my mind, been one of the most important cases ever. Turning them on to it and saying, okay, tell me your explanation for this. I really want to hear what this was. And I gave them all, you know, a bunch of written material on it and had them study it, and they were very uneasy because they couldn't really come up with a simple, quick answer, and they were very surprised to find that there were such cases, that there was some solid evidence somewhere with physical, you know, components and things. And that just goes to show you again that the anti-UFO, you know, contingent, whether it's official skeptics or just the average person on the street that, you know, that thinks it's nonsense, they're extremely badly informed. I mean, they don't understand anything about the phenomena. Do you guys know Seth Shostak?
Oh, yeah, it's kind of hard to avoid him.
Yeah, well, you know, I did a convention with him, and he went off again, you know, about treating UFOs with me like, how do you, you know, what's next, Bigfoot? You know, I mean, it's just putting it into the category of the ridiculous immediately. And I'm thinking, you're spending all your time listening through radio telescopes to try to hear a whisper from the stars to prove there's life, and something else is going on right under your nose that you have no interest in, none whatsoever.
You know, it's ridiculous. It's thinking radio waves are being used by aliens. That to me is even more ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they want Seth to be able to hear them. They have something to say for him.
Yeah.
They want to tell him where to go and how to get there.
Yeah. So I always find that when you meet people that are really anti-UFO and are intelligent people, that they're almost always extremely misinformed. They just don't understand. I mean, if you just showed someone the amount, I mean, a guy like Ted Phillips, who all he does is, you know, physical trace cases, and all he has is, you know, tons of soil from all over the world where the soil has been chemically altered by something, you know, at a sighting. I mean, how do they explain that?
Of course, Ted Phillips has been on the PowerCast a couple of times. We've had quite a bit of a chance to talk with him and go over his research. I understand where you're coming from. Let's go back to the government, though, because a lot of things occur to me. Okay, the government has nothing to disclose. But what about government disinformation? Pulling pranks, throwing things into the wilderness to confuse everybody?
Yes, I believe in that. I believe that there is a certain amount of government disinformation. And I think it's all part of the same thing. In other words, if 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, you came to the conclusion that something's flying around from somewhere else, okay, you quietly, you know, tabulate your reports and your sightings, and you get a database going. And at the same time, you just in a very subtle way push disinformation on the public, on the general public. And that the combination of those two things is what keeps the whole subject in a layer of fog, you know, and I think that it's very effective. So don't get me wrong. I do think there are people in the know who are hiding a secret to some extent. And the secret is, yes, there's something real here.
I'll tell you what, here's something very real, ladies and gentlemen, and that is we have to take another break. Tracy Torme joins us. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
If you're not satisfied with how your skin is aging and want a healthy, youthful glow with immediate results, get a facelift from the inside out with Vizuri. like a mini facelift, only without needles or surgery. Vizuri is a revolutionary youth rejuvenation skincare system that's proven to work for your money back. Vizuri is all natural and chemical and preservative free. It helps reverse damage to complexions as a result of aging, stress, lifestyle, and pollution. Vizuri reduces skin pore size, firms, lifts, and tightens, leaving you with soft, silky, shiny skin and looking years younger. You may have seen Vizuri reviewed by CBS TV News. Now see how Vizuri is helping men and women get a fountain of youth facelift at avatarfacial.com and click on CBS TV News to see video of the amazing Vizuri skincare system. Call 888-203-5278. That's 888-203-5278 or go to avatarfacial.com, spelled avatarfacial.com, and click on CBS TV News. Vizuri, the fountain of youth facelift.
Okay, I want to address the skeptics listening to talk radio. You hear multiple commercials on products that make you feel better and help you lose weight, but you don't believe it. Companies come and go. Well, people, I understand. You really are desiring a product that works, but you're tired of getting burned with substandard quality, gimmicks, and 3 to 6 month get-involved contracts. Life Change Tea is different. I speak for Life Change Tea because I lost 25 pounds, lowered my blood pressure and blood sugar levels. I sleep well at night knowing Life Change Tea customers are receiving a real product that works, customer service, and customer satisfaction. So here's my spiel. Test us, try us, and receive results. And if you don't try us, that's okay. And if you do, you'll be a happy tea customer getting healthy. So order now. Call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. In my opinion, you won't be sorry.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
I want you to notice this, Tracy Torme. Every time Chris says the PowerCast, the voice gets deeper and deeper throughout the episode.
Spooky. Yeah, okay, I will notice that.
Right. Well, you know, it's after a while, of course, you know, it just sort of, you know, it washes over you like water over a duck. Okay, so the government pulling things. I was even suggesting in some of my speculations offhand that the government is engaged in pulling a few abductions of its own.
That's been a rumor. That's been something that's been kicked around, and there have been some abductions where it does seem there's some kind of government involvement in it. Boy, you're really off in the palace of mirrors when it comes to stuff like that, because who knows? I mean, who really knows? I certainly don't, for sure. So I would say that's possible.
One of my favorite scenes in the old X-Files show was the military guys that are dressed up as aliens conducting, an abduction. And then a real craft comes down with this kind of science fiction monster, comes out and abducts them. I always felt that was that was a really brilliant twist by Chris Carter.
That's great. Yeah.
Poetic justice.
One of the things that I must mention, kind of just quickly touching back on our prior conversation, in terms of real good cases, Leslie Kane just came out with a very good book, a bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list called UFO. And some of the cases in there are just absolutely sterling. It's very, very difficult to argue with some of the information that was very meticulously researched and placed in that book. And I think as time goes on that we have more and more quality data coming out. And I think a lot of what you're referring to in terms of the tone and the giggle factor in the scientific community and the mainstream is just basic ignorance. People just don't know that there is quality data out there to really look over and ponder. And one of the things that I feel is really kind of taking us down the wrong path right now is the whole idea of exopolitics and this idea that the government, who's been probably lying to us to a certain degree for 60 plus years, that even if they do come forward and come clean with what they know, how are we ever going to believe them? They've been lying to us for 60 years. What do you think about the whole disclosure movement and exopolitics?
I'm not that familiar with what you're talking about, the exopolitics. I'm not sure that I understand what that refers to.
I don't think they do either. I get the impression here it's basically of movement to try to understand or to formulate a policy about how to deal with E.T.
But
they seem to have a feeling that they already know who E.T. is and why they are here, so it's like having an interplanetary embassy, or perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Stephen Greer 2.0.
Misguided. It sounds a bit misguided from what you're telling me about it. And, I have to think about that one for a while. I don't have an immediate reaction to that. That's something I'm not that familiar with, so.
Well, maybe you're better off.
I remember a very interesting exchange that you and Stephen Greer had back in 94.
Oh, God. That's the type of thing that kind of drives me nuts in the field.
I want to hear that, Tracy, because of the fact that Greer was here a couple of times on the PowerCast. In the second and last appearance, he was practically yelling at us. So tell us about this encounter.
Well, we had a conference up in Crestone. It was sort of an informal conference, and there were maybe, 20 people or so that attended. And this guy comes marching into the conference, and he's just spouting off about everything under the sun, like, again, somebody who knows all the answers again. And then he started saying some things that just really bothered me. He claimed that on his drive to Crestone that the aliens were flying above his car and they kept, maneuvering into the C-SETI logo that he uses above the car as kind of like an homage to him or a tribute to him or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, you talk about self-serving. Give me a friggin' break. It's like, so somebody who comes in and makes that claim right off the bat was, it was really already kind of on my list. And then from there, he went on to say that abductions, the negative stuff we got out of abductions was just due to our monkey brains, people's monkey brains, that's the expression he kept using, because they were really here to help us and they're really here to save the world. And it's only our immature fear factors that are making us color these abduction cases with negatives. And he just, wouldn't stop. It was like all night long. It was one theory that I really didn't want to hear after another, after another, after another. And all with the attitude of, I'm the one that knows the answers. I'm the only one that knows the answers. Now I'm going to share some of my endless knowledge with the rest of you cretins here, So I just immediately kind of had to challenge him and started to, nibble away at some of the stuff he was saying.
You were taking major bites, Tracy. Remember his comment that he kept repeating over and over. Now this is I forget the exact date. I think it was the spring of 94, if I'm not mistaken. And he was saying 90 days. I guarantee it. There will be disclosure in 90 days.
Yeah,
he kept saying.
It was such a bunch of nonsense and. Really, again, very arrogant, and again, coming forth with this attitude of, I have all the answers, so just listen to me, and maybe some of my genius will rub off on you. And it's like, I'm pretty tolerant with most people, and it takes a lot to get under my skin, but this guy was right off the bat. He was so anxious. He had a bunch of sycophants that were following him around everywhere, and I was thinking, the emperor has no clothes. This is really not cool at all. And then when I left the room, a friend of mine said that he went off on a long harangue about how I was a well-known CIA agent and that the position I was taking was because of my CIA connections and blah, 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 which is really one of the more boring, false charges you can go into. It goes back to the Stone Age.
Well, maybe they owe you a few paychecks at least.
So, yeah.
I know you work in Hollywood, so of course sometimes getting the money is difficult. So you call your friends over at Langley and say, hey, you owe me a few thousand here, guys.
Yeah, bring me my Samsonite with all the old Benz in there,
That was actually the second time I had the CIA thing. The other guy that claimed that I was with the CIA was John Lear. And John Lear was telling everyone that would listen that I was a really well-known CIA agent. So I went right up to him, and I said, "So, John, I understand you've outed me. You've revealed my secret to the world. I'm a CIA agent. I'm just curious, how did you come to that conclusion? How did you blow my cover?" And he said, "Well, you're friends with Bill Moore, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, that's it. You know, if you're friends with Bill Moore, you're in the CIA." I said, "Oh, okay. Well, thanks for sharing that, those pearls of wisdom with me." So, you know, occasionally you come across this kind of stuff in this field, and that's when I feel like quitting. Like, I feel like I don't ever want to attend another convention again because it's just such a big waste of time. And there's so many people who seem to be so anxious to say so much and have really nothing to say. And that's the other thing, is you really kind of have to be careful with what you take in and what is passed on to you as fact, you know. So it just goes to show you, this two people, you know, going around telling anyone that will listen that I'm in the CIA. I hate to break it to you guys, but I'm not in the CIA. So there you go.
And if you were, what were you supposed to be doing? Making a few science fiction movies that's going to persuade the public of what?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I mean, seriously speaking, I know you work very hard on some excellent projects, but in the scheme of things, television is disposable, kind of.
Yes, that's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, it's entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, it depends what you make it. And you're always, if you're working in television or movies, you're always trying to do something with significance. You know, you're trying to do something that's going to last, that's going to make people think, that's going to affect people and make them laugh or cry or whatever. So that is one of the goals of what you're doing, but it doesn't always work out that way.
Well, I'm kind of a television junkie to some degree, and my wife is as well, and we get to watch a lot of the pop culture shows. The one thing I do notice is the production values of TV today slicker than they used to be. You know, quality of acting, quality of performers. A lot of people who are movie actors decide to try it in television, and it gets to be quite interesting, quite entertaining. Tracy Torme, writer, producer, joining us. I'm Gene Steinberg. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.